Today's recording is in Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 47. Luke chapter 22, verse 47. While he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temples and elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house, and Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later someone else saw him and said, "You are also one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council, and they said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe, and if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God." So they all said, "Are you the Son of God then?" And he said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips." We've previously read about Judas making an agreement with those on the council in order to betray Jesus, and that moment has come. And when he comes out, he draws near to Jesus, but Jesus says to him, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" And Jesus gave Judas a moment to really think about that. At least that's the way that I look at it. That should have given Judas pause. Verse 49, when those around him said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" Then one of the servants of the high priest had his ear cut off. And Jesus stops them. And he touches the ear of that servant and heals him. I've always thought about this. How could you be a part of arresting Jesus and be a part of them mistreating him after you know that your ear was cut off and then Jesus heals it? And how could you be a part of the company after seeing that happen? I'm sure there are more details that I'm not privy to, but personally, if I didn't believe in him before that, I would have a strong crisis of conscience to go through with it at that point. Perhaps he did not feel like he had a choice in the matter. But Jesus confronts them because here they are coming out armed in order to arrest him. And he says, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs?" And Jesus was around them all the time. He was never anything but peaceful. He was certainly not an insurrectionist. He was certainly not a murderer, a robber, a thief, any of those things. So why was it necessary to come out against him in such a way? And that's what he's talking about in verse 53 when he says, "When I was in the temple, you didn't lay hands on me." Well, they didn't because they didn't want to do this around the people. They wanted to do it in the middle of the night when people weren't around. They were afraid of the people. So they lead him away, and the focus in this passage then goes over to Peter. Remember, Jesus told Peter that Satan wanted to sift him like wheat, but Jesus had prayed for him that he might be strengthened. That does not mean that Jesus was going to prevent Peter from being tempted or make it so that Peter couldn't fall into temptation. So now you've had these soldiers come out and arrest Jesus, take him away. Peter has followed from a distance. The other disciples have scattered. You don't know where they are. And Peter alone is following at a distance. And when they're calling him out as being one of them, he's probably fearful. He might be afraid that they're going to take him in and do the very same thing to him, or worse, that they're doing to Jesus. And so he denies it. First saying, I do not know him. Second, man, I am not one of those. And then finally, he says, I don't know what you're talking about, in verse 60. And that's when the rooster crows. And at that moment, the Lord turns to Peter. And just reading this, tears begin to well up for me. I feel for Peter. I feel for Peter because I know that this has to be similar to when we sin. That Jesus looks at us, not condemningly, but out of compassion. That he knows that we've given in. That look from the Lord let Peter know that he knew that Peter had done exactly what was prophesied, that he had denied him. And he went out and wept bitterly for his sin, for denying Jesus, for denying being a disciple of Jesus, I should say. Well, then the men that were holding him, they were mocking him, they were beating him, they were blindfolding him, saying, tell us who it is that struck you. I mean, Jesus didn't deserve to be treated like this. Not even a criminal should have been treated like this. Even a criminal should have a fair trial and not just be mistreated. But here they are mistreating him. And this occurs until daybreak. Day comes, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, the chief priests and the scribes. They bring him to council and they say, if you're the Christ, tell us. They've asked him this before. Why are they asking now? Well, now they're just trying to have the right reasons to accuse him. And he says, if I tell you, you will not believe, and if I ask you, you won't answer. And then he makes mention of the Son of Man should be seated at the right hand of the power of God. And they knew what that meant because they reworded it, saying, are you the Son of God then? And he said, you say that I am. I think that the leaders of the Jews knew more about the prophecies pointing to Jesus than they let on. And that's really sad. It's really sad to think that they could know that the prophecy was pointing to Jesus and still have such animosity toward him that they would do all of these things. And so they end our reading today with this question of what further testimony do we need? We've heard it from his own lips. We heard him say it. And he's going to continue in the next chapter in our next reading. He's going to continue to be mistreated. He's going to continue to have false witness made against him. And this is our Lord and Savior we're talking about. I want us to realize that Jesus willingly endured these things because of his compassion for us. While we were yet enemies, he died for us. While we were in sin. Hebrews 12 and verse 2 says that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. He obviously didn't enjoy the shameful way that he was treated, but he endured it willingly because of what he wanted to accomplish, which was the will of the Father, the plan for the salvation of man, at least those that would be faithfully obedient to him and accept the covenant that came by his blood. Just yesterday, the sermon was on blessed are those that are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And we talked about that when we suffer, we begin to identify at least a little bit with Jesus, and we understand his suffering a little bit. And if we're suffering for the right reasons, that is, for the sake of righteousness, then that tells us we're doing the right things. We're shining the light of Christ because they did the same thing to him. They were shunning the light and embracing the darkness. We live in a dark world. We live in a world of sin. It's always going to be that way until this world is gone or until we leave this world. But it's very important that we do everything we can to not let this world surround us and affect us in such a way that we deny Christ. We need to boldly live the life of a Christian, shining that light of Christ to in a lost and dying world, so that maybe if just one, just two, maybe a few might see the light of Jesus in us and might come to that light themselves. would be worth it, wouldn't it? I think it would. I think that would bring us great joy, that even when we're persecuted, we see others that truly want righteousness and seek out because they see that we have it. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.